Yesterday we were talking about parameters of Marzayim. We got into the discussion because of the Mishnah about kibbutz. The Mishnah said that a person's clothing has to wear, and he's not supposed to hang it up on Shabbos in a place that people are going to see it, because it looks like, gives us the impression they actually washed the clothing, which of course is also in the Torah on Shabbos. But the Mishnah drew a distinction between doing it publicly and doing it privately. So the Mishnah says that to do it b'chadei chadar would be mutter. And Rav was quick to point out that the machlokes is a tenor, and Rav passed against the Mishnah. And even Chadi Chadar was also, the machlokes is Rishon, and how should we pass in Halacha? And we were basically not on the Hachmer. And this most of Rishon seemed to side with the view that Tosfos suggests that we do, in fact, pass like Rav against the Stam and Mishnah. Nevertheless, Tosfos is willing to read it carefully. Tosfos is willing to say that at least by assuming the Rabbanon, such as the case of the guy fixing the roof, the whole fear of Marsai is only on the Nisus Rabbanon. We're not going to be Matir Marsai and outright on the Nisus Rabbanon, but at least the Chumra of Chadri Chadorim, the Rabbanon anyway, combination of those two leniencies, those two considerations, we have a right to be major. So we weren't even sure that we passed it like that. Even the Ran questioned that. So we have three different possibilities in our loch in terms of our taking Marsai and the Chadri Chadorim. The biggest mekilim, that's one day in Tosfos, that we just don't follow Rav altogether. We pass like the Stam Mishnah that Chadich Adam is always Mutter. Then you have the other extreme, like the Rav says that Chadich Adam is always Asar, even by the Rabbanim it's Asar. Then you have the split of Tosfos, like Chadich Adam and the Rabbanim is Yeshua Hakel. But the Fahesia, one should be Machmir. So take a look at the 18th of Imam Makavos. There's a comment of the Rav Ma, in the whole place of Hilchus Bas Machal, we spoke a little bit about this Rav Ma earlier in the year on the Wednesday night, Shirib. There's a Rav Ma in the 18th of the Maimon Kavos, who pays Zion to Yid Gimel. The Rav Ma writes the following: the Nagu Lassas Cholok Mishkeden. The minig was that they used to make almond milk. We have today, sorry, almond milk. And they used to make almond milk, or Menichin Babisato, and it was considered like a delicacy. Eat chicken, eat meat together with this almond milk, and dip it into the almond milk, and that was okay. The island used to do this. I guess a little bit, and then Yel was supposed to say that he threw it on Torah. So that's him out of Torah delicacy. You know why exactly? But that's what it says in the Rishonim. This was a very decent look for him. So they would dip the almond milk, dip the chicken into the almond milk, and they'd eat it. And nobody considered that to be a problem of Marasayan. Why is it a Marasayan? The almond milk looks like milk. So maybe that should be a problem of Marasayan. So the Rambam like, nah, over ain't a rock with the Rabbanan. Since the prohibition of eating besar oak the cholov is only with the Rabbanan, the Minat Torah only besar the hema is considered to be l'svash and be cholov imo. Because it's only oak, only a chicken anyway. So it's at worst only the Rabbanan. Even if you mamish cook it together with the milk, we'd only be a Rabbanan. So since it's only a Rabbanan, therefore we have a right to be mako. The question is, what exactly the Rabbanan meant with that statement? The simple meaning of the Rabbanan is, since it's only a Rabbanan, therefore Marasai doesn't apply. That's the pashup shot. And what the Ramah seems to be saying. He's saying that in theory there should have been a problem called Shtetim. We should have prohibited it because of Marasayim. But since it's not a bit of Rabbanah, therefore it's all right. In contrast, as the Ramah of Besar Behema, what if it's Besar Behema? What if it's meat? What if it's Mamish Basa? That would be a potential deraisa. The Yesh Nadiach Ekla Chol of Shtetim, Mishum Marasayim. One should be careful not to just have your meat, you have your belly together with your almond milk. You should make sure to leave some of the almonds next to it, some of the shells of the almonds next to this dish. You should not aside. Because if you leave some of the shells there, then everyone's going to realize, oh, it's not milk, it's almond milk. Kavodah probably has to be some of Rabbi Dam. And we have a precedent for this idea of when you have something which is also Mishumar Sayim, if you can make some kind of a hecker, if you make some kind of a recognition, everyone will realize that's in fact not Mishumar Sayim, then it would be okay. So the Ramah's reference back to Simon Samach Rabbi Dam, where the Shulchan Aruch wants to do from the Gemara Maseches Krisos. So the Gemara tells us that in the Minha Torah, you're not permitted to eat Dam of a Behema or Dam of an oaf. That would be an Issacharis, the blood either from an animal or from a bird. The Dam Dagim is Mutter. Blood from a fish is permissible. So Minha Torah, blood from a fish is permissible. Really, even with the Rabbanan, blood from a fish is permissible. The only thing is that the Chachamim were concerned, the person is sitting and drinking a cup of fish blood. So first they're going to walk by and see him drinking this red liquid and it looks like blood, they're going to think he's violated the issue of eating blood from a behemoth or from an oath. So because of the concern of Marasayim, the Chum instituted that you have to make it clear, you have to make it recognizable that this is not really animal blood, this is just fish blood. And the Gemara says the way you do it is to put the kaskas in there. Take some of the scales from the fish and to put it into the cup. So if you want something delicious for to have, you can have your cup of fish blood, as long as you have some kaskas, you have some of the scales inside, so then everyone's going to realize the animals don't have scales, muscles and fish, and fish's blood is mutter. So the Ramah references that Gemara and says, you see for that Gemara, that whenever you have a concern about Zion, if you just do something that obviously draws attention and informs people that this is not a violation of an Isser, then that would be okay. Comes the Ramah and says, the same would be true by the Chol of Shkedin. As long as you leave some of the Shkedin, some of the almonds there, that would solve the problem. But Ramah said, it was only a problem in the first place, but beside the Hema, but beside also, there was never a problem altogether. Why was it never a problem altogether? But therefore, you don't even need a Heker. And the Ramah says, because on the whole, the inner Ramah with the Ramah. And the simple meaning of the Ramah is that Parasai, the cloud, doesn't apply to the service of the Ramah. And this Shabbat is very difficult, but you can take this on face value that there's no Marasai at all in the world of the Rabbanan. Is that true? So the Shach, and because of the Shach and that the Rabbanan, your day of the Mos Mechalov, shows you for the Gemara that that's not true. There are Gemara that say almost explicitly that there is Marasai. One of the Gemara that the Shach highlights, is we'll talk about because it's relevant to the Sefer Shabbos, is the Gemara of the Sefer Shabbos in the fifth parak. So the Gemara is talking about different types of things that an animal is allowed to wear on Shabbos. Why should we care what the animals wearing on Shabbos? The whole parak, Shabbos, the fifth parak, Rebbe Hema Yitzah. It interests us because animals are not allowed to carry on Shabbos. And there's no Erev, because that's the old Shri Tzatayim. My animal, is not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. But one of the Malach that an animal is not allowed to do is not allowed to carry. So if the animal is going outside in the street and there's no Erev, has to be careful that he doesn't have things on his back that would constitute a violation of carrying. That's my problem. That's called Mahdi Nuch Shachar Kam Racha. That's called my violation of Shvisa's Behemah. So the Mishnah gave all kind of details. What's considered to be carrying, what's not. After all, a person is allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos, usually you're not allowed to carry. Whatever you're wearing, it's not called carrying. That's clothing. It's not a carrying. So an animal also is allowed to wear certain clothing. What point do you draw and say, if this is wearing, if this is excess, this is not really wearing. So you got to learn those sugyas and Berg and Weber to figure out what is carrying, what's not carrying. In the middle of that sugya, the Mishnah talks about the prohibition of an animal wearing a bell on a cow, wearing a cow's bell on Shabbos. The Gemara says the reason why the cow can't wear the bell is not because of carrying. It's really not, that's considered to be like an ornament, that's considered to be part of the animal. The only reason why it can't wear the bell is because it's nirka ugulus chachinga. It gives off the impression that you're going to sell the animal. So that when you took the animal out to the market, so you put a bell on it, the ice cream truck, to catch everyone's attention. Everyone knows here's the animal, ready to sell it. So the Gemara says that if you see an animal steering around the street with a bell on it, even though it's not Torah, that's not really called carrying, because it's buckled to the roof of the animal, but it has the impression that you're going to sell the animal. And as such, that would be a problem. That's a problem with our science. It gives us that impression that you're going to sell something on Shabbos, which of course you're not allowed to do. So comes the Shach and says, and let's say you sold your animal on Shabbos. And what would be the gefelach of this? And what would be the terrible of selling something on Shabbos? The Shach points out, selling on Shabbos is only midirabbanan. Rashi writes in the Sechas Beis for two reasons why you're not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos. One is because of gezeirah shel yichtov, we're afraid that you may come to write. Anything that's related to writing activity is prohibited midirabbanan, it's gezeirah. And number two, the pesukim described, so chavs chavadavidavar, Sukkim and Yishayo described, you're not even allowed to talk about your business pursuits. Come to agree with your business pursuits. Either those two reasons are not malachas, and they're not their isis. There's no their isis to sell a cow on Shabbos. We'll come to Shach and says, even though the prohibition of selling cow is only with the Rabbanan, the Sikha's always the word, there was no concern. They still prohibited it with the Rabbanan because of Maris Ayah that left people think you're taking it out to the marketplace. So Shach says, you see from that, Vidim and Sukkim Shabbos, that they're both not right. See that even by the Rabbanan were concerned about Mara's eyes. So how would we defend the Shita's Haramah? So one of two ways. Either maybe one could argue that maybe buying and selling Taka would be their Isa. So I think buying and selling would be their Isa. So the Rabbanan of Torah writes that if a person has a store open on Shabbos and he's buying and selling business as usual, so even though there's no particular malacha that was violated, but the whole picture of doing being in the marketplace on Shabbos is also bin Atzafra, because that's a violation of the mitzvah say of Shabbos Lashem. The Torah describes that Shabbos has to be a day of Shvita, it's got to be a day of business closed on Shabbos. So even though you figured out a kunst to keep your business open without violating any malachas, but that's true, you cleared yourself from malachas, you didn't violate a law, you didn't have chasas, but in terms of the necessity of Shabbos, you violated the business as usual on Shabbos, as often as a rabbi Torah stops saying, according to the Ramah, maybe you can defend the Ramah, but the Ramah holds that fundamentally Marisayim doesn't apply to the Rabbanans, but maybe the buying and selling of the animal may be more than, maybe worse than a regular Rabbanan. So that's a questionable defense of the Ramah. Probably the more correct defense of the Ramah is based on the following. The Pesach Tshuva, in his comments on the side of the Yerdeya of the Ramah, the Pesach Tshuva says that we misunderstood what the Ramah was talking about. But the Ramah says that you don't have to be worried about Marisayim. Chicken and milk was only the Rabbanan, if there's nothing to worry about, not the same as regular Marisayim. The Tshuva says the Ramah was assuming that we understood we're talking about the Chad HaChadorim. We're not talking about in public. Who's seeing the guy eat this chicken and milk? It's in his own house. His wife and his kids are watching. That's called Chad HaChadorim. Chad HaChadorim means that you have to make it a public statement. When you're out there in the middle of 100 people watching you, that's called the Mishahasiyam. So comes the Pesach Tshuva and says, the Ramah meant is like this. We're only dealing with Chad HaChadorim anyway. When it comes to Chad HaChadorim, tells us in the Sukkah, already told us that Chad HaChadorim is only also by the Arisas because of the Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas says you're allowed to go up on your roof in the middle of the night, no one's watching you at 2 in the morning, and kick open the drain. People are going to think you're doing a Zerabanan. So the answer is, but no one's seeing you, nobody's watching you. Chad HaChadorim is also. But Tzidkin Ksubas already told us, Chad HaChadorim, that Chumrah, Chad HaChadorim is only added on by the Arisas. It was never added by the Rabbanon. So says the Tzidkin, that's what Ramon meant. Ramon meant, since we're dealing with the Rabbanon, and we're dealing with Chad HaChadorim, because what we're talking about, yeah, privacy of the guy is not home, he's not talking about in front of the staff as he's going to a wedding. So comes the Tzidkin and says, but some of that's what Ramon was driving at. That Chad HaChadorim and the Rabbanon is going to be important, which is not such a tremendous issue. We have precedents for that already. That's exactly what Tyson told us in the Sechas Ksumas. The whole part of the Ramah is defending the practice of eating the chicken together with the almonds and not being all that concerned with Marisayim. The reason being, not that the Ramah denies Marisayim by the Rabbanim. That's a hard thing to sell. But the Ramah may deny it's Chad HaChadorim by the Rabbanim. That's really much more, much easier for us to accept that we already have the right from Tyson and Supers and Tyson and back ultimately. The truth is, if you take the Ramah, that since it's only the Rabbon and therefore the Mutter, the L'chaura, we should extend that Ramah even to Besai Behema. Because when is Besai Behema the Araisa? That's when it's cooked. Which is partial. So Vashem Zim B'chaladim. But if you have Besai Behema, it's not the official. You're just taking some your deli and dipping it into the almond milk. But one can argue, but it's Besai Behema, not the official. It's also the Rabbonim. So the Ramah is willing to be made of Besai Oaf because it's the Rabbonim. Chad HaChadorim is Mutter by the Rabbonim. Why should we have to be machmir b'sar behema unless your mamash cooked it together? So we can out make the Ramah. The Ramah says Oaf is mutter, b'sar behema is also. But it could be that the Ramah meant that if your mamash cooked it together. If you're not cooking it together, then the Chari should be totally mutter b'chad HaChadorim. But Lemaisa, the Shach doesn't buy into any of this. And many Poskim didn't buy into any of this. Because many Poskim held that we don't follow the Taisis. We follow the Rav. Even by the Rabbonim, b'chad HaChadorim is also. That is just play out for us Lemaisa in terms of real Shailas. So some of the Milcha Shabbos Shailas that we mentioned, so we have to be machmir in terms of hanging up with the clothing, because the Shashim is the Araisa. Lesser, the raincoats, you put the reason doesn't apply, the suits, that's a very different story from yesterday. But any clothing that the real Chashash applies, so if I see a person hanging up his socks over the bathtub, see a person hanging up his sweatshirt over the bathtub, so there is a outright Chashash that the person was wash the clothing, even though it's Chad HaChadorim, nobody said, my door's locked. If you have some doors locked, it's absolute Chad HaChadorim. It doesn't matter. Whenever there's a Chashash of a Deraisa, we have to be Choshish even by Chad HaChadorim. What about by the Rabbanan? We have a right to be made so like this, like the Ramah. This is the Shadah by the Chosh Kedim. What's the name? What should we say about the Chosh Kedim? So the original Shadah that came up in America about the condition of the Chosh Kedim wasn't about the almond milk, it was about the parva cream. We spoke about this on a Wednesday night here a few months ago. All the parva cream was from years ago, so the ice cream, everything, was that a concern? Can you serve that as a fleshed meal? Obviously, Mikra did okay, but should we have to be concerned with issues of Marisayim? The question is, how much of a Marisayim do we have to be worried about? So there were some who wanted to be Nachman who said So that's the case, then you would have to do the equivalent of leaving the almonds there. What would it mean if you leave the almonds there? That's the reason the container there, leave the packaging there. So if you serve the almond milk, you serve the dairy cream, the parva creamer in its container, it says on it, be let it, hold your parva. So you see that it says parva on it, then aimless lack of marsh I'm gonna leave that. So if you don't bind to any of the shema, you would have to be machim and to leave the packaging there. That would be the equivalent of leaving the shade in there. However, those who want to rely on the Ramah, so then it depends how far was the Ramah make him. So in the whole, like the simple being in the Ramah was, that's Mutal Lagamri, there's nothing to worry about, there's no more sign, the Chalal, nothing at all, then it's Mutal Lagamri. As long as it's not Bosa, the Hema, the official, so it's Mutal Lagamri. You don't believe any containers, you don't believe any arms, you don't believe anything. It's Hetagomer. It's Hetagomer in the privacy of your own home, it's Hetagomer in your shul, it's Hetagomer in the chasm, in the restaurant, everything's Hetagomer. But the way the Pesach Tshuva watered down the Ramah, Pesach Tshuva told us that the Ramah didn't really mean that. The Ramah couldn't have meant that. How can the Ramah say there's no Marasayim with the Ramah? It can't be. It's against the Gemara about the selling the animals. There's got to be Marasayim with the Ramah. There's no way that the Ramah would have been making on that. So what was the Ramah making on? So Pesach Tshuva says the Ramah was only making on Chadi Chadorah and the Ramah. Now you have to go case by case and ask yourself, is it Chadi Chadorah or is it not Chadi Chadorah? If it's Chadi Chadorim, okay, then we'll give you green light. Then we'll shrug it off and say, well, it's Chadi Chadorim, it's Chadi Chadorim, it's okay. But if it's Mishra Hesya, if it's Pavla, it's Mishra Ha'am, so then even the Ramah didn't have to be Mashmer in that. Now you have to ask yourself, case by case. Is this case Chadi Chadorim, or is this case Mishra Hesya? So what's the case? If you're sitting in your own house, then it's okay. If you're sitting in a restaurant, I'll have to call that Chadi Chadorim. You're sitting in a chasana, you have 20 people around, they start to bring out five creamers. I'll have to call that Chadi Chadorim. That's Farhesia. So it's Farhesia. Even the Ramah would hold it as a problem. The Pashas of Svarim is that we're not even sure we should follow the Ramah altogether. And even if we follow the Ramah, we're not even sure the Ramah was made, though, that there's no Marasayim in the Ramah at all. Never heard of such a thing. That there's no Chumra of Chadi Chadorim in the Ramah. That we understand. So I understand you can't hang up your clothes to dry in a in your bathroom, even though nobody's watching, because that's the chashash marasayim on a deraisa. But to tell me that I can't have my almond milk together with my chicken in the privacy of my own home, that's already a stretch. That's marasayim on a deraisa. But if it's marasayim on a deraisa, you don't have any precedent to be made of. You don't have any ramot to be made of. Nothing to be made of. That's why many hashkafa organizations years ago, when the parva cream stuff started to come out, they didn't permit them to serve it, but they insisted that they have it in the original packaging. So they would have let it look so nice. If you want to serve parva cream with a nicer, more elegant way to do it, is to empty it out of the cardboard box and put it into a nice little metal canister, put a little serving piece or something. So the restaurants and the weddings would prefer to do that. But many of the shtuch organizations wouldn't let them do that because they felt that in a wedding or a restaurant setting, that's a farhesia, and even the Ramah would have been mekel there. The Ramah would have been mekel b'chadi chadar. So they would insist, like the same way they did it by dam, if you leave some of the scales, it's okay. Or by the shkedim, if you leave some of the almonds, it's okay. So it's okay if you leave the container here, then it would be okay as well. That was the view of many of the organizations. The question is whether that's really necessary anymore. Whether that consideration is really binding altogether. So one could suggest as follows. Maybe one could argue that the matthias has changed, the facts have changed. There was a marasayan when there was a real marasayan. 50 years ago, you're sitting at a wedding and you just finished eating meat and all of a sudden they bring out coffee and they bring out a pie of a prima. Wow, this is unbelievable. This is milk. What's going on? This is a marasayan. Well, you're sitting at a chasana, and they start, all of a sudden you finish the meat, and they start bringing out, there's a cake with ice cream on top of it. Wow! They don't know about the b'chola. You're shocked. You never heard of a fire of ice cream. It's not like that. When you go to a wedding, and they come out with a fire of ice cream, it's your immediate reaction. Ooh, it must be milkshakes. It must be something. Stay a little check. Ask them a shkir here. And they tell us. It's not like everybody knows already. So you have to do all the first time. There's no bar sign altogether. Maybe one can argue that Marasayan is only as true as it's Marasayan. I mean, this is better than Chadi Chadorim. Once the facts have changed so radically that this particular action doesn't even conjure up the image of Marasayin anymore, then it's like Marasayin. Moshal Mavda Vendome, going back to the Sugya, we're learning Shabbos. Kashi says, so Wednesday night. This is not for tonight, but for a regular Wednesday night. When, in the morning, it's a Shabbos. So we spent a lot of time on this Ramon, it was Kashi's this morning, but the real source goes back to the hanging up of the clothes from the Seven Shabbos. That's really absolutely good reason. But remember, we said yesterday that one could possibly argue that Bamez Vamu, when you're not allowed to hang up clothes to dry, that's with the type of a clothing that is usually washed. But if it's the kind of clothing that nobody would ever think you're washing, I see a guy hanging up his Shabbos suit over the bathtub in Shabbos, he would never in a million years think, oh, the guy just put his clothing into the washing machine, and now he's hanging it out to dry. I'm sure you know, no one is hanging up your clothing over the bathtub. I remember once in Marsha Cole, many years ago, there was a guy whose suit got dirty or something, not in Shabbos, and he wanted to dry clean his suit. It was a big hassle to send it out to dry clean. But for some reason, he thought that he could mimic the dry cleaning process. So it didn't succeed, but he turned on all the showers in the cologne. He made it very, very, he thought dry cleaning was a lot of steam. He doesn't realize that they put a lot of cleaners in the stuff also, put detergents inside. So he just made a lot of steam. He hung up his suit in the bathtub, in the bathroom, and he was waiting for it to get clean. It didn't get clean, it just steamed up the bathroom. So as matter of fact, nobody normal would ever think that the guy washed his suit in the bathtub. So we said that, maybe from our side, maybe one could argue the same facts that you when it comes to powerful stuff today. Nobody's conscious anymore about the ice cream and the cream. This thing from years gone by. So if you take that approach, so then you get the whole Ramah. I don't need the Ramah. I can be mopped by everything. I can be mopped not only Chad HaChador, I can not only by the Ravonim, the rices also. I can be mopped there to have a pirate creamer with your meat together in front of 100 people, and nobody would question that. If what we're saying is correct, then maybe the whole Marathon doesn't apply. So notwithstanding this suggestion, there are those folks who are not so convinced that that's true. The Badi Ashulchan, he's arrived from Purim, he says, this dish that the Ramah is describing was a regular delicacy. It wasn't the Meshuggah the guy decided to eat some almond milk together with his meat. If you look at the early folks, they quote that was a minute pizza dish, it was a special Purim dish. So everybody knew what they were doing. Everybody knew that it's Purim. Everybody knew that they were eating the almond milk. Nobody thought the guy was really drinking, having real milk with it. But the Shulchan writes that even though the facts seem to be pretty known, that was the custom, why, and still the Ramah said, maybe it's a problem under certain circumstances, why should we think that our part of ice cream is better than the Ramah's almond milk and pork? It's very hard for me to measure that statement. You know, I don't know how many people were eating almond milk in the 1500s in Krakow even on Purim. So again, it's hard for me to say whether that equation is necessarily accurate or not. But one could potentially argue that maybe the Omar Asayan thing doesn't apply B'chlal. So maybe if one doesn't want to be so radical to say that Omar Asayan doesn't apply B'chlal B'chlal Shkedim because of the change in eating practices, we're not 100% sure that this whole Omar Asayan really is correct in the first place. This whole application of Omar Asayan to the Chol Shkedim is questionable. Where did it all start from? It all started from the Dam story. Marcresa says that you're not allowed to eat fish blood with the Rabbanon, because of the Marasayan, people are going to think that it's animal or bird's blood. Therefore, in the Rabban, you have to put ketkaf, you have to put the scales inside to remind everybody that it's not regular animal or bird blood. And then the post was extrapolated from there to the Chol Shkedim, and I said, Rabban, whatever the similarities and differences are. So the Yonatan Ibershitz, in the Sefer Creation Place in Yeridea and Sidon Pei Zayin, throws into question whether this equation is correct in the first place. Then the Yonatan Ibershitz says, block the fish. It's blood. It's biologically blood. It's just that this kind of blood, the Torah never prohibited. So one can argue that if it's blood, so then Marasayin kicks in. But you have to be worried and then you have to figure out if it's a Hesher, is it thinner, is it faster, not that fast, etc. When it comes to Chol Shkedim almond milk, it's not milk. We call it milk. There's no connection. Living or dead, the chemical properties of the almond milk, the milk. Milk that is milk, milk came out of an animal. And Chol Shkedim, we call it almond milk. We call it soy milk. It's not really soy milk. It's something that comes out of soybeans. It's rice milk. We call it rice milk. We call it soy milk. We call it almond milk. Because it looks like milk. So that's the lush of the other. We call it milk. So Samuel said, and Abishad, the flour is not also. He said, just because you have a white liquid that looks like milk, it doesn't do anything. When you have blood, which is really blood, I understand, that's the Marasayim. You have milk, which is not really milk, that's not going to be Marasayim. Again, the Mechilas covered, here we have the Yonatan Ibershitz, I don't understand that distinction. I think the Ramah sounds like it makes it like it's more correct. So the other option is 100% right. In halachic lingo, the other option is right. But Marashayim doesn't depend on halacha. Marashayim depends on what people are mistaking. So it's true that halachically, physically, biologically, chemically, you don't have a cup of milk in front of you. Why is that relevant, though? What you do have in front of you is that a cup of white liquid that looks like milk. So harai looks like milk. That's what we call it the almond milk. So for the bystander who's looking on and watching you dipping your chicken delicately into this cup of quote unquote milk, he doesn't know the biological, chemical differences between what's in front of you and a cup of milk. He sees you having a cup of white liquid. He sees you putting a piece of chicken in. The bells go off in his head. Oh, there's the marasai. So why does the fact that halachically and biologically and chemically and technically there's a difference between the milk and the blood case, why should it make any difference at all? Again, probably the chriya between the Ramah and the tradition, but the Pasha sounds more like the Ramah. If the Ramah is right, that fundamentally there is an issue of Marasayim here, because Marasayim is not a function of the halachic distinctions, it's a function of the perception of the Bnei Adam. So the Marasayim is true here. There is a potential Marasayim here. Whether it really applies, then you have to learn the Klal of Marasayim. The Rishis versus the Rabbanim, Chet Chedon versus Parhesia, maybe there's not a Zebedee has changed. So those are all factors within the equation of Marasayim. Just to ignore Marasayim altogether, it seems a little bit more difficult. So a couple part of Asugya really started with the Marasayim in terms of Kibbutz. That's how we got into this discussion in the first place. But the Mishnah said that although you're allowed to walk with the wet clothes, and there's no Marasayim, there's no Zereshim Yisot, for reasons Rashi and Rami spoke about earlier, but then the Mishnah concludes, we have to be careful when you hang up the clothing, not to hang it up in public, which Rabbi added on, even in private, which got the whole ball rolling with Chad HaChadon, all the Gemara's in Chad HaChadon, like Sim Shon, and Pasuk Rav. Those are the distinction between the Raisin versus the Rabbanon, and then the potentially how it's going to play out in terms of this issue in terms of those guys. I think we need the next step for the next one.